Welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. Shane Stetsny, Brent Smith here, as always. Brent, ERX, I guess you could say an eventful weekend out there in the land of 10,000 lakes.
Man, eventful is one way to put it. I mean, it was a great day, great weekend for truck and car racing. I mean, the track, we talked about it a lot because it come apart, but it was great off-road racing, and I just love that place. And the land of 10,000 lakes, well, it created a lot of great excitement in that area.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, the track, you talked about how it came apart a little bit. A lot of drivers faced some challenges. I mean, we had a handful of red flags actually on Saturday. Unfortunately, all those drivers turned out just fine. Michael Funk had that big rollover. Turns out he's all right. And you said they're already tearing that truck down, right?
Yeah, that's, I mean, the rumor is that they're already trying to cut the back off of it. I hope they really get it to put back together the right way and quick, because he was right where he needed to be, right? In that class. He was so fast in 2024. Now, I mean, we talk about him time and time again, Shane, and he's the one to be up on the podium and fight for those wins. And now it kind of steps him back, but hopefully he can get it all back together and we can see Mike Funk really go to work, because he is one to watch in pro light.
Right. And it's tough for a team like that. He's not the Greaves team. They're not Ryan Beat Motorsports. The team is, you know, Michael, his dad, Mike Funk, RJ Flanagan, and their friends and family. And that's the team. I mean, it's volunteer help.
Yeah, it's a family racing operation, and that's what makes it so much tougher for a team like that. But at the same time, I think they put more heart and passion and soul into the whole program because they know what it takes. Yeah, the money is one thing, but it's just, do they have enough time to get it back to where they wanted it? And I think they're going to surround themselves with some great people to do it, and he'll bounce back. It's just a matter of when, right, Shane? When is he going to come back?
Yeah, hopefully sooner rather than later. We'll definitely miss having him out there. This is kind of a fun anecdote, if you want to say a fun anecdote coming out of that situation, out of a race truck almost being destroyed. But the next day I ran into Michael's dad, Mike, who you raced against, I think, in Superstock, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so this is a perfect encapsulation of the spirit of an off-road racer. You know, when I ran into Mike first, I said, hey, how's Michael doing? He said, oh, he's doing okay. You know, everything's going to be fine. And I said, well, how bad's the truck? And he said, well, you know, it's not too bad. Then he goes, probably have to back half it, maybe front half it. Well, it's pretty bad, he said. Still trying to find that silver lining. Like, hey, we're going to fight, man. We're gonna do what we can. But, you know, reality kind of setting in. I just thought that was kind of a funny anecdote from what was otherwise a pretty scary situation.
Yeah, and you never know what's going to happen, right? When you get the truck back, your first thought is, hey, I hope my driver, my guy, my child is okay. And you seen that gnarly crash inside the cab, and he was good enough to grab his belts right away that you're taught at a young age, so your arms don't go in and outside the cab. And I think everything did its job, but, you know, some things happen that way, and it's how you bounce back, I think, is the biggest part in this sport.
Yeah, can't wait to see the bounce back for Michael Funk, no doubt about it. Well, I think, Brent, we don't have to bury the lead too much here in this episode of the podcast, but man, the big story is some hot, fresh beef served up from the pro spec class. Wyatt Miller, Nick Visser. Let's try to be as diplomatic as we can as we break this down. We're going to try to give you only the facts. I'm not going to try to put myself in Wyatt's shoes or Nick's shoes. No. What'd you say?
I said it's Shane's fault if it goes wrong. No, I'm just kidding. We'll go down together.
Yeah, I'm just going to try not to talk about motivations. The drivers can speak for themselves if and when they decide to. Here are the facts. Racing for third, final lap of the race, second to last corner. Wyatt saw an opening, made a physical pass on Visser. Visser paid back the contact right away. That's all fair play as far as I can tell. I think you'd probably agree.
Oh, absolutely.
They cross the line. Wyatt holds on for third. There's contact after the flag. That's a no-no. Nick Visser was disqualified partially for that contact after the flag. It's spelled out in the rules. That's all we have to say about that. I think what's captivating about it for me is we wondered what the moment would be from ERX. We saw that great moment at Crandon, the finish to the Forest County Pottawatomie Community Cup. We wondered before ERX on this podcast, what's going to be the next talking point? What's going to have people buzzing on social media? Well, we found it. there was a ton of comments about it, back and forth, other drivers getting involved a little bit. Every fan seemed to have an opinion. That side of it, I think, is really, really great. Every sport, I think, needs some big rivalry. You look at basketball, you had in the early 90s, you had Bulls and Pistons. You know, for us living here in the upper Midwest, Packers, Bears, same kind of a thing. Seems like all the fans were really quick to take a side in that, you know, two-horse fight.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, you can look at it any which way you want to, but from an announcer standpoint, I mean, it's two race car drivers going at it. Visser, he was hanging it out, you know, coming off that drop-off, and there was nothing really he could have done but doored back Wyatt Miller. And I mean, that's just a racer's choice whether you want to contact him again or not. And I mean, being in his position, yeah, you want to retaliate, but we know that's not called for. But everyone at home, like you said, it wasn't the retaliation so much. It's after the flag's gone, we're under caution flag conditions, and you come up and you hit the rear bumper. I mean, I've known that since I've been a kid, right? Yep. You're not allowed to do that, but you're just in the moment, you're fueled up. Granted, should Wyatt have put his nose there? Hey, he's a race car driver. He's young. These guys are older. And like you said, we're waiting for this moment to happen, and let's let it hang out. I don't want to see nobody take each other out, Shane. But at the same time, they're in it to win. Nobody likes second. Nobody likes third. And they're going to let it all hang out and take the gloves out.
Yeah, and I think Nick has a lot invested into his own race program.
Right.
And he takes it very seriously. He's as competitive as anybody in Champ Off Road, as far as I'm concerned. You know, he has his pride, his ego. He wanted that spot, no doubt. Wyatt Miller is a professional racer. They're both professional racers.
Right. You got to say that. They're both professional. I mean,
right. Everything that happened before the checkered flag, you know, physical, yeah. Bordering on too aggressive, maybe. And that goes both directions. But again, that's the drama that we get to see in off-road racing. That's the kind of stuff that gets your blood pressure spiking again and reminds you, like, oh yeah, this is really, really compelling stuff.
Yeah, you take that lap back and you come off the Yokohama Tires flyaway jump and say that Wyatt doesn't force the issue. I mean, granted, back at home, nobody wants to see that. You got to give the kid credit for going for a chance at that next position on the last corner of the last lap. And I feel Nick, I mean, he's going to probably remember that no matter what. And oh, yeah. If that door's open, he might not go back into Wyatt Miller, but Wyatt's going to know that you better protect the spot because he's going to try to go after anything. And it's a racing incident, and Nick might be mad at me for saying it, but at the same time, put yourself in the other guy's shoes, and I believe it'll all pan out.
Let's be totally honest. You and I are best friends. If we were driving those trucks and you left the door open on me, I would have done the exact same thing.
right. And yeah, if that's I open the door in the competitor. Booth, you're going to slide over. You've seen that before, right?
Right. You're never going to settle when you're in that position. This drama is great. And like I said, it got the fans talking a lot. Well over 100 comments virtually immediately the next day when that clip was posted. I do want to jump on my soapbox a little bit on that topic. Off-road racing is really, you know, short course is really great because, you know, we aren't cup racing. We aren't pro football. A lot of times when you're interacting in those spaces, the drivers are there too. Our competitors are there too. And it's awesome because as a fan, you can comment on something that, say, Ryan Beat posts and he'll reply to you because he thought your comment was great. He'll have a conversation with you. You know, it's the same thing as how we have our pits open. You have access to the competitors in a way that most sports don't provide. But I did see some comments that leverage that a little bit too much. And there were comments, I'm trying to be diplomatic, but there were comments that invoked drivers' families in ways that I think were out of bounds. And frankly, that's Bush League garbage. We love our fans. You and I we speak to the fans more than anybody. We love all of our fans. I think off-road racing fans are way more educated than a lot of people would give them credit for. Fans that are real fans of off-road racing know this sport inside and out on a level that football fans aren't that way. Basketball fans aren't that way. But be considerate when you're a fan commenting on things. Don't drag other people into it that weren't involved. Sorry, that stuff had me fired up a little bit.
Yeah, and Shane, and it breaks us all down as a whole. You're not just hurting that individual or that team member or that person. you're dragging our sport down. So if you're listening out there, just bring the person up, bring this topic up. Don't bring it down. I mean, we love the excitement, but be on each other's side, who's ever your favorite race car driver. But remember, it can flip-flop in a matter of seconds or corners in our sport. So it can go either way. And it's a good way to watch off-road racing if we keep it clean. And I still believe we are keeping it clean, but we got to keep it clean off the track too, because it doesn't look good. And we could sit there for days. We're never going to make everyone happy, but at least try to support the sport as a whole. Yeah.
No, we want fans to be engaged and plugged in all the time, and we want fans to have opinions. But, you know, personal attacks on family members of the drivers, who, again, remember that you're a fan of a sport that you have access that no other fans of other sports really have to the competitors. Just be mindful. Don't stoop to terrible levels, please. Anyways, I'll jump off my soapbox now, and thanks for indulging me a little bit there. So moving on from one source of drama to another, what else did we learn at ERX? Well, don't try to pull a fast one on tech, apparently. I don't know if you saw all the DQs from post-race tech. There were a lot of them. We're not going to name who they were. Not just sportsmen, not just certain classes, but widespread and names that you know. Let's say that. Do you have any thoughts on all the points adjustments, we'll say, coming out of post-race tech from ERX? Let's frame this differently. You were a racer. You ever get busted for anything? Let's make this a little bit more fun instead of just shaking our fingers at the drivers.
Well, Shane, depending on who's listening, I never did get caught ever cheating in my life. No, post-tech was always nerve-wracking, right? You never knew what they were going to bring up or bring about. And normally it was a carburetor there. You checked certain individual things, fuel pumps, etc. But I mean, they're just doing their job. I never had to go through those issues. Fuel was one of them. But yeah, Shane, anytime you're DQing that amount of drivers out of any specific class is just crazy. But you have to do it if you're the tech guys. You got to stick to the rules, stick to your own game. You can't let parents, fans, friends get involved. And you get caught cheating, well, guess what? The next guy in line gets your trophy. And that's how it should be. I just haven't seen it be this heavy this early in the year. And at the same time, maybe I haven't seen this in 3 to 5 years where they're really being strict. Maybe it's going to level out the playing field some more.
I mean, I've never been a driver, so I've never had the opportunity to push gray areas, we'll say. But I know that the spirit of racing is that the fastest legal vehicle to the line is the winner.
True.
That's all I can really say on the topic. For what it's worth, if I was a driver, I would be looking for every gray area I could. So whoa, I understand sides of it. And that, like, you know, you understand that side of it too.
Yeah, it's just, it depends, right? I mean, it depends at the same time how far you want to stretch it. But I don't believe when it gets to the younger divisions that these parents should really be digging in that deep, right? You want your kid to win, but don't put them in a situation, any class. I mean, 6-8 classes we have that the younger generations are in. Don't go and stretch a rubber band at that age and get your kid called a cheater, because in my eyes, I'd be very upset. Yeah, granted, if I had a kid, Shane, you had a kid that was in the sport, you'd want him to win. But that's got to be very, very heartbreaking to bring back that story to your kid and be like, hey, hon, you got to give back your medal because dad got caught. Or do you say, I didn't know about it, right? I heard a couple different parents going, well, I didn't know about that part.
Well, sure. That's why the rules get enforced, though, is because, again, ideally everybody is within the rules and then you let the race play out on the racetrack, which is the way it should be. And to go back to a point you made, it's good that they're being strict. Everybody should be under a lot of scrutiny to make sure that, you know, it's supposed to be as fair as we can make it.
Yeah, being fair is one thing, but at the same time, you, like you said before, you have to level it out. You have to be strict, like we both agreed on, and you got to put your foot down, because if you don't, well, then it gets out of hand, and we've seen it in the past. These motor engine rules just got so far out of hand where nobody knew where anybody was at. We had to actually bring in dynos about 10 years back, if you remember, at Crandon, and we still didn't make anybody happy. But I mean, who is doing what? I mean, I sat and did some research when we were watching testing over at Bark River earlier, and just the crazy amount of money that's spent on these engine programs and everything to make the costs go, and they're not even reliable for more than a half a season. And it's like, you give all these guys credit, let alone just the cost, and then they have to put all these drama factors in racing and keeping everybody else happy. You know, I mean, our job's hard enough. I can't imagine throwing all that together too.
Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, man, I hope they don't start doing like post weekend tech on us. That's all we need. If they're coming down that hard on the drivers, what are they going to do to us?
Yeah. You better check your carburetor.
Right. Drinking illegal energy drinks to keep the heart rate up.
Oh man. Yeah. But that's just, I just always did not agree on some things tech was doing over the years, but at the same time, if they're consistent, they stick to their game, and they make all the same calls, I don't think there should be a problem. Granted, there was not a time that we didn't go to tech. We always made sure that we had our checklist, but we were more worried about if we had the right safety stuff, you know, right, to make sure we were safe. That's what it was back in the 90s and the early 2000s, but now it seems like they're really sticking tight to the rules, and I like it. Honestly, I think I need to do it more locally for my racing, because I forget sometimes that it's not only just a rule book. It's like, okay, make their job easier too.
Yeah, there you go. Be friends with your tech guys.
Right, right.
Man, this, I don't know what's up with this episode of this podcast, but the tone of this thing has really changed. it's just been us complaining about drivers a lot.
It's different. I like it. We have to sometimes.
All right, let's talk about fun stuff. How about that? Fun, exciting, you know, actual racing stuff. Now that we're past halfway in the season. First of all, can you believe that with 8 weekends of pro racing that we're already past halfway? My goodness.
Unreal, man. Times fly.
Well, you know me. I'm always keeping my eye on those points championship standings. I'm seeing some concrete starting to set up a little bit in a couple classes. This one surprised me. Pro 2, Keegan has a 54-point lead. Beat had some mechanical issues at ERX that spilled over from Crandon, where he also didn't have a great weekend. Keegan, even though he did have some electrical issues in round 7, still salvaged an all right finish out of that day, and then did much better, obviously, in round 8. Pro 4, the 9-time champ, CJ Greaves, now with a 71-point lead. And Pro Stock side-by-side, Owen Van Epperen, 78 points up on everybody else. And partially due to post-race tech stuff, his win streak is still alive, by the way. You remember he didn't cross the line first on Sunday at ERX, but afterwards they made some adjustments to the standings in post-race tech. 5 in a row now for Owen. So those three...
Unbelievable.
Yeah, those three starting to set up a little bit. I think I probably know the answer to this, but which one are you most surprised by that is that distant?
Well, I'd want to say there's two of them, but Owen Van Epperen for sure in my eyes, because he's just been on a tear.
Yeah.
And to win 5 in a row, he's one to watch. Like, honestly, you go to watch Pro 2, Pro 4, and some of our sportsmen, but I can't wait to watch that kid on a short track, Lena, Wisconsin. He can drive, and he's getting a little bit of driving style out of his old man's pocketbook. He's starting to back it in, but
yeah,
he is a little chip off the old block of CJ Greaves. I mean, Keegan as well, though. I mean, unbelievable what they're doing this year.
It's not surprising at all that Owen is doing well, because the kid has, you know, he's dripping with talent. He can drive. He's got the equipment too. I mean, obviously the program is completely dialed in. He's dialed in. But looking at Pro Stock, just the other heavy hitters in there, you've got Jeb Boodle. You know, he's adjusting to a Polaris. That's a big change for him. But you've got CJ, who's the defending champ, having some issues this year. Colin Truitt, finally able to stack up some wins this year as well. Coming out of that group and having a 78-point lead at halfway, you know, none of us predicted that before this year. We thought that was going to be a knockdown, drag-out battle. Shoot, even after Antigo, it was really tight in the standings, and we were, like, licking our chops. Here we go. It's going to be a close one down to the wire, and now it doesn't look like that at all.
No, I mean, we couldn't have predicted what's going on right now, and to see what they're doing at the halfway point, like you said it perfect, they're setting it in stone, they're setting it in concrete, what the second half's going to bring. I think you're going to see those top three that we talked about move ahead and just keep checking out on their division, because when you get that momentum, we don't like to say momentum so much in racing, but I do, once you get your ducks in a row, you're ready to rock and roll for the rest of the year. And I'm telling you, I don't see anyone really putting a stop to their streaks right now.
Well, a couple of pro classes that are much less clear coming into focus, but at least a couple drivers in each fight. Pro spec, you've got Chris Vanden Elsen with a 9-point lead over Wyatt Miller. Chris has a 3-race win streak going back to round 6 at Crandon. And then in pro buggy, Jordan Bernlohr, 1 point ahead of Billy Booth. Are you surprised that either of those battles are taking shape the way that they are?
Chris Vanden Elsen, yes. Not very surprised so much because he's come into this season so prepared, ready to go. I mean, Wyatt Miller, he's right there. He could pounce at any time and just go on a win streak. So I think Chris is doing what he needs to do. He's picking up those wins. The more we talk to him, it seems like that confidence keeps building. And then you have Bernlohr. Bernlohr is just, ever since we talked to him on the podcast, you just feel that excitement, that drive he has to win races. And Billy Booth, the changes he made, he'll be right there as well. And I think Lena fits him more as a driving track.
Yeah, I think both of those battles are going to be really great right down to the wire, like I said. And in pro buggy, it's a little bit closer with the next group of guys too, the Chaden Minders and the rest of the guys that are up near the top of that point standings. I think on top of possibly a new rivalry between Wyatt Miller and Nick Visser in pro spec, it's going to become really fun to watch pro spec every round because even though, you know, Visser is well back in the standings now, Parsons, the defending champ, struggling a little bit. You know, some after effects, I think, of that crash, just trying to get that forward momentum back a little bit. But those guys are both going to be out to prove that they can win anytime. You've got the emergence of Draxton Schimmick, who's running a split schedule with his dad. You've got Avery Hemmer there. There's a lot of drivers who, you know, eventually that switch is going to flip, and they're going to say, okay, I don't have a shot at the points anymore, but I'm going to go scorched earth and I'm going to try to break off a win streak like Vanden Elsen has.
Well, yeah. I mean, I love the class to death because it's so competitive. It's so equal in so many ways. And I feel we've talked about it a lot where this is the new pro light class because it feels so warming of how much great competition any driver at any given time can drive and win. Draxton Schimmick, he's really surprised us. Not that he couldn't.
He's been impressive, man.
Oh, man, being right there at the end each and every time. His father, Zach Schimmick, I mean, fellow pro light racer, he's been around a long, long time. He's planning on coming back more next year. But, man, he handed over the reins to his young son, and he is really taken off. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, like I think I said this during the show at ERX one of the 2 days, that it was not a surprise to see Avery Hemmer jump out of mod cart and into pro spec, do really well right away because it translates quite a bit. You know, the horsepower to weight, being two-wheel drive, just the way you drive them and having to shift as you go, that all translates really well. Draxton came out of the 570s. They have almost nothing in common. Completely different car, four-wheel drive.
Not at all.
CVT, you're not shifting gears at all. The horsepower to weight's completely in a different ballpark. So to come into a class that is full of really good drivers in fairly evenly matched equipment and to throw down like he has, like I said, impressed is an understatement.
Yeah, he's doing a wonderful job, and we like to see it. This young class, these young guns, and the older vets in the class really know how to lay it down. This short track, I mean, the fiberglass is not going to be on the trucks very long, but you think we have some upset drivers in ERX, wait till Lena. I promise you, it's just going to be a bull ring. There's not enough room there, I promise.
Well, there are some sportsman classes also that are really, really great points battles. Actually, a lot of the sportsman classes with those drop rounds are going to be right down to the last day at Crandon. Super stock truck, just like we thought. It's 4 drivers, 21 points apart. That's on adjusted points. I ran the numbers and dropped the rounds for the drivers to this point in the season. Braden Boshaw, Nick Bing, Corey Holcher, Scott Belanger within 21 points. Kind of the usual suspects. We figured it would be close. You're not surprised, right? We predicted that almost down to those 4 names at the start of this year.
Right, in any order, right? I mean, Belanger could be sitting on the top of the box right now, the leading the points. But, I mean, Braden, we talk about bouncing back. Him and his father and their team, Jarrett and the guys, and Shane, they did a great job getting that truck back to normal and getting a win. Now they already tested at Bark River, getting ready. So they seemed really confident wherever they go right now. So I mean, Bing, we talk about him being a second half driver, but now he shows that he's here to play for the full 20 minutes. He knows how to lay it down, and he's going to be tough. And there's a big group of drivers that can win all the time in this class. There's just not enough medals for the top three, yeah. I promise. And there really isn't.
I think those four, it's going to be, I mean, we saw that 2 years ago, and Belanger was one of those drivers. Actually, Belanger, Bing, Boshaw, and Ben Holcher in 2023 came down to the final round, all with a real world chance of winning that championship. I think it's going to be the same story again this year.
Oh, yeah.
Just with Corey Holcher instead of Ben.
Right, right. And you can't count out Wiersma either. Colt Wiersma has been very strong.
He still within striking distance. And where did he have his best weekend last year?
Yeah, Lena.
Lena.
Yeah, absolutely. He loves those short tracks. And I'm excited to watch Super Stock Truck. I mean, Braden Boschow's looking strong. He is my cousin. But all these guys, Corey Holcher, Belanger, they can win. And that's what's so much fun. Whoever can get out front, right, and be there at that halfway point. If you let Belanger get out front, there is a very slim chance you're going to get back around him. He's a dirt track guy.
Unless you're Nick Bing and you're used to sitting third, fourth at halfway and winning anyways.
Yeah, and he could drive to the track. He wants to win in front of his hometown crowd. He does a lot for that whole program.
Well, what's our other favorite sportsman truck class, Brent? It's Mod Kart, right?
Oh, absolutely. Pro Mod Kart, Shane.
Yeah, pretty much. they may as well be. Actually, they because of the, we'll talk about the Super Stock Truck versus Stock Truck shootout race on Saturday at Lena later on, but because of that schedule change, Super Stock's going to race earlier in the day, and then they moved Mod Kart toward the end of the day, which, hallelujah. Me as a fan of Mod Kart, I've been waiting for that for a while. A lot of the families and teams from that class have been begging to get moved deeper into the schedule, closer to the pros. I still think they could be on the other side of pro opening ceremonies. Right before pro buggy would be a good place for them. That's just me talking. But that points battle, four drivers, 15 points apart. That's unadjusted points. That's without dropping any rounds. That's how close they are. Lincoln Monsager is on top there. He's got two wins. Wes Vandevort with a win, second in points. Brixton Wirt doesn't have a win yet, but he's third in points. And then Race Visser, two wins to his name, is fourth in points. We've been telling people how long now, Brent? Mod Kart, you got to be there early enough in the day to watch it. Well, Lena, we're going to do you a favor, put them towards the end of the sportsman schedule. It's been like this for a couple of years, though.
Oh, yeah. It's been a class to watch because there are many Pro 2, Pro 4 in my eyes or in anybody's eyes that are watching, or you go back behind the pits and watch them work on these cars. It is amazing to see what they can do on and off the track. And these drivers are great, right? They're little professional kart drivers. And
yeah,
these cars get up and go. Power to weight ratio, you'll see them run probably just as quick as times as 95% of these trucks out there.
Well, one more sportsman class I want to talk about. And speaking of horsepower to weight, Brent, who is surprised by this? That light buggy is also an awesome points battle right now. Maybe surprised by names that aren't up near the front. But on adjusted points, with the two lowest rounds for each driver so far dropped, Evan Hockers, Greg Stengel tied at 274, Jake Showman 272. So the top three on adjusted points, 2 points apart.
Oh my, that doesn't get any closer, man. It is unreal. These drivers are fast. They're fun to watch. It's going to be challenging because so many buggies on this little track. It's going to be track position early for all these drivers, and it can mix up, right? We've seen it before where you can get a couple wins and then you struggle to win the rest of the season. So, I mean, you're going to have to keep an eye on a lot of these drivers because Stingle's looking fast. It's cool to see him come back after the past couple seasons where he's top five, but then now just solid. He's back there. He's in the top three each and every time. And hey, who knows? He could go on a win streak here.
Yeah, I mean, he's already a 7-time class champion, by the way. I mean, if you had to pick a favorite out of those three, I don't know how you even could, based on the way the season's gone so far. Hey, Stengel is a pretty good horse to bet on.
Oh, yeah, you can bet on him.
We're going to speculate a little bit, but you notice some extra emotion from Stengel on the podium the last couple weekends?
Oh, yeah, dude. Who knows, right? He's taking every race like it's his last, I can guarantee you, because he's not getting any younger. Who knows? He might hang up the hat if he wins a championship. So you and I both know that he's going to fight each and every race. But maybe, I don't know, that's just me guessing. Maybe he just feels that he needs to really put a push this season because he's different kind of Stengel.
Yeah, we saw some emotion on the podium at ERX, and I remember you and I kind of nudged each other like, hey, man, this is a little different than what we've seen from Greg Stengel. Maybe he knows something that we don't. And again, us speculating, by the way.
Yeah, those emotions are awesome. And we never will till the end.
This is totally an aside, but I also did get a kick out of Evan Hawkers referring to Greg Stengel as Grandpa Greg on the podium.
Oh, yeah, I caught that. I love it.
Yeah, and the old dog, like you said, still taking it to the younger guys in the class, which we love to see.
Yeah, they always say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but he's got enough tricks up his sleeve where he knows how to teach these young guns a little something every time.
Well, fans, if you love power and performance and saving money, make sure that you become an AMSOIL preferred customer, and you could save up to 25% on AMSOIL products and receive free shipping, exclusive promos, and more. Visit AMSOIL.com to sign up today, and we appreciate AMSOIL supporting this podcast. Okay, Brent, so we started at a big technical track. We went to a short track. We went to Crandon, which is the biggest of them all, although we ran the mid-track layout. Went to ERX, which is a big technical track again. Now we're going back to the other short track, Dirt City Motorplex in Lena. They have made a couple changes to the track that we've only heard bits and pieces of. There have been drivers there testing. You have talked to some of those drivers who were there to see it firsthand. Tell us about the track changes.
Well, from what I heard, they opened up the corners a little bit, created more racing, like more opportunities. But at the same time, I'm not going to say names, but they said that it created it to be a little bit more challenging for racing conditions because they thought they'd open up the corners, but at the same time I think it slowed it down from what I've heard, so we'll have to wait and see and how practice goes. But they just opened everything up, tried to make it more fun to watch, more fun for the drivers. We'll have to wait and see. Like I said, I can't tell you any more, but from what I heard feedback from the drivers, they said it kind of went backwards in a way, but we'll be one to make that judgment.
Yeah, it'll be different, I think, is maybe the only thing that drivers have agreed on. And one driver that I talked to about the changes was mixed on it a little bit. But what I love about this and what I love about Lena's willingness to make those changes is, you know, when it comes to a place like Crandon or Antigo or even ERX over the last couple of years, you kind of get your setup figured out and then you write it down in a binder somewhere, save a file on your computer for how you like to have everything set up, and then you leave it alone. What I like about these track changes is now all these drivers are going to have to get there. Some of them that, like you said, have tested there, maybe have a leg up on everybody else, but practice and qualifying day, it's going to be drivers figuring out new lines that, especially what I've heard is that turn one is shaped quite a bit differently. You go actually further around kind of that bowl corner, turn back more towards almost towards the start finish line, and then it's a right-hand turn through where that rhythm section is. So drivers are going to have to relearn the track. I love that. I love that it's new because the drivers who are less experienced or have fewer laps there have a better shake. They have a better shot at everything. In some ways, everybody's starting from zero. Everybody's starting from a level playing field. Who can adapt? Who can learn the racetrack quicker? You know, whose spotter can find the lines a little bit quicker than the spotter standing next to them on top of the building? I just think it creates opportunity for maybe new names to find their way to the front. That's what we love, I think, the most as race fans.
Yeah, nobody wants to see the same guy or gal win each and every time over and over and over. And I love what Lena's doing. It creates another racetrack on our series and creates great racing. And I love it because it's like Supercross and Motocross so much more as Supercross because they change the track week in and week out, and that's what I love about that sport, because nobody really has a great testing day, right? Everybody's at the same level playing field. You got to walk the track, you got to judge your lines, got to judge the jumps, you got to know what you want to do. Like Crandon, Bark River, everybody else, it seems like we've been there so many times, like you said it perfectly. You're putting it in your notebook. Okay, I got a Crandon wet, I got a Crandon dry, but you don't have really anything for the Lena. You have the track additions, but you don't have, okay, now it off cambers here and it goes here. Do we have to put a different sway bar, heavier spring rate, you know? And that's what I love, and I agree with you more. It makes it more exciting.
You know, you're talking about, this is another aside, and this podcast has been off the rails since we pressed record, but...
Unbelievable.
That's my fault. I'm the one that prepares these notes anyways. You talking about walking the track. I just remember Mike Vandenhoevel telling us that when Mickey Thomas was in Pro 2, I think this was last year at Bark River, Mikey was walking the track with him and talking about light buggy lines and how they moved one little part of the track. And he's like, this is going to throw everything off for the light buggy. And he said Mickey was just totally not into it at all. I just thought that was funny. You can take the guy out of the buggy, but you can't take the buggy out of the guy. I guess is what I'm trying to say. If you're a buggy dork, that stains you for life. You don't grow out of it. Anyways, that's too many asides from yours truly on this episode. Again, thanks for indulging me. We don't know what we're doing anymore. But I do know that there's a new race on the schedule at Lena. So we saw what happens when you throw a couple different classes on the racetrack back at Crandon. The most viral moment in the history of our sport. Well, we're going to try it again on the sportsman side. Stock truck versus super stock truck, a shootout race. That's the finale on Saturday after Pro 4, stock truck versus super stock truck. Hey, you raced both of those classes. I don't think you ever got to mix it up with the other class. That's got to be a really fun opportunity for those drivers to A, get some extra track time, and B, race for some cash.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. It's going to be great for everybody because, you know, if you're a stock truck driver, if you have a good setup and you have your gear ratio right, it really at that track isn't going to come down to a lot of horsepower. So you might have a chance. It depends on the split and what we do at times. But yeah, I never got a chance to run against that. That'd be fun. It's a great challenge for these drivers to take their hat off, and it's a fun race. It's all for a little bit of money, and we'll see. I know I talked to Braden Boshaw. He was excited about it, but it's a lot of racing for those guys in one day. Hopefully they all stay healthy.
Yeah, and again, like I mentioned earlier, the schedule is adjusted a little bit. Stock truck still the third race of the day, and then super stock the fifth race of the day. So they'll have a little bit extra time for the super stock truck guys to turn around those trucks, almost 7 hours that they can reprep the trucks, make sure everything's straight on them, and go out and have a fair shot at it. But like you said, I think it all comes down to that time split or how they stagger the start. I think that was kind of still up in the air, and maybe we'll find out when we get to Lena what that actually looks like. But I do know that if Faye is the one crunching the numbers, he did a pretty darn good job of it in the Pro 2 versus Pro 4 shootout at Crandon. So I have high hopes that this is going to be a really good race. Plus, those are two of our favorite classes. What's not to love?
Yeah, I think that the time will be perfect. Like you said, I mean, we called it on the Pro 2, Pro 4 race shootout, and it was pretty dialed. And to see how that split's going to be, it's going to be an all-out war. It's going to be fun to watch, and your best driver is going to win what's left of them. I think that it's going to be challenging, but I think every driver will have a chance at it in super stock truck, and even some of the stock truck drivers will have a shot too.
Well, with that, Brent, I think the folks have listened to us blather on long enough. Again, this is probably the most unhinged episode of this show we've ever done, but looking ahead at Lena, I'm excited to get back there. I've said this before Antigo, between Wheatland and Antigo. It's nice to go to these more local races for us, especially places that we've been going for years and years, because it does feel like a second home a little bit. Part of that is because Lena, of course, every year does their Thunder on Main event. That's Friday night, 5:30 p.m. All the trucks, cars, buggies are going to head downtown. Then they have a big party in the street from 6 to 8 p.m. on Friday. Of course, you can't go down there without at least stopping in for a cold beverage at the Wooden Shoe, iconic Lena hangout.
Oh, heck yeah, dude. It's such a fun time. I'm excited to meet up with a lot of our friends and family and just every race car driver. Feel free to come up to us and ask us questions. Make sure you ask the hard ones to Shane so you can figure them out.
Give me the math.
Yeah, it'll be a good weekend, though. I mean, we've seen thousands of people on that main.
Yeah, it's like shoulder to shoulder from one end of town to the other.
Right. Yeah, it'll definitely be fun to see. And
yeah, live music, food trucks.
Have everybody come together.
All your favorite drivers hanging out down there, you know, giving fist bumps, signing autographs, giving out hero cards, and selling merchandise. We say this all the time, but short course off-road racing provides a fan experience that you just don't get with other motorsports. You don't get that from, like you said, you invoked Supercross before. They don't parade their bikes downtown where they're racing and have a meet and greet that's open to the public like we do in short course. It's just such a unique experience. So if you're going to be in town or if you're in the area already, spin on up to Lena Friday night. Again, that's free. It's public. Walk right in, shake hands, eat some food truck food, and have a great time.
Yeah, it's one to watch. It's that great short track vibe, and You get to see your favorite people. I mean, the best in the world are going to be in the little small town of Lena. And seems like we're going to have some weather that's going to come through before the weekend, but it looks to be shaping up to be a nice, beautiful, hot weekend, though.
Yeah, over the weekend, I'll second your forecast. Weather on Saturday and Sunday looks to be cooperative, I think is probably the best word. That's what we had out at ERX.
Okay, what's the percentage? No.
It's low. Let's say that. Again, we're amateur meteorologists and improving off-road racing announcers, trying to get better every day, right?
Every day. It's a hustle, but...
Well, at this point, Brent, that is definitely enough from us on this episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. If you're not able to make it to Dirt City Motorplex for the Dirt City Off-Road National, of course, we'll be live on Flow Racing 9:45 a.m. Central Time on Saturday. Otherwise, like you said, come find us at Thunder on Main. Before we go, any single race, single class you're excited to see while we're there at the Dirt City Off-Road National?
I'm excited to see everything. This new track layout is going to make it really challenging for drivers, even the good, talented ones. I think it's going to give great opportunity for the drivers that haven't had so much seat time because it's going to be all the same. So we're in for a treat. I think it's different, and that's the biggest part about this weekend coming up.
I'm ready to see Mod Cart, and I'm ready to see what the next serving of beef looks like in Pro Spec. Can't wait. Well, for Brent Smith, I'm Shane Stetsny. This has been the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. We will talk to you again very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil.
Well, do you know who else has some tricks up their sleeve?
Amsoil.
Oh, man. That was too stupid to commit to.